One of the biggest productivity hurdles is losing your data. Your computer crashes, you haven't backed stuff up, you've been meaning to, but you just never got around to it. That's where CrashPlan comes in. CrashPlan has been around since 2001, and they're a pioneer provider of cloud-based data protection and recovery services, both to individuals and businesses. And I guess ultimately, you've got to ask yourself, how much are your ideas worth, especially when you lose them? Whether it's a business plan, your images, your spreadsheets, your audio files, any of the files you use to work or manage your home. They've got options for everyone from solo creators to growing businesses. CrashPlan works efficiently in the background while you work, encrypting and sending all your new or changed files to their secure cloud every 15 minutes. And then if something happens to your files, your hard drive crashes, your cat knocks over a cup of coffee onto your laptop, or you just accidentally delete a file, your files are just a click away. CrashPlan makes it simple to restore some or all of your data with unlimited version retention. CrashPlan is your ultimate rewind button. Don't let data disasters slow you down. CrashPlan has your back and keeps you moving. Go to crashplan.com/beyond for 50% off your first year of CrashPlan. That's crashplan.com/beyond for 50% off your first year. Back up better with CrashPlan. Hello and welcome back to another episode of Beyond the To-Do List. I'm your host, Eric Fisher, and this is the show where I talk to the people behind the productivity. This week I'm talking to Jeremy Kubicek, co-author of the 100X Leader, How to Become Someone Worth Following. And like you, when I heard about this being a leadership book, I thought to myself, do we really need yet another leadership book? And rightfully so, because a lot of books on leadership have been written. However, I was pleasantly surprised by the content of this book, and in fact, I think it's probably one of the best, if not the best, books on leadership out there, and there are some really good reasons, but I'm not going to share those with you just yet. I'll just say you'll have to listen to the conversation to find out why. But I will tell you that Jeremy is the founder of Giant, which is most notably known, probably, or at least how I know them, known for putting on the Catalyst conferences as well as LeaderCast, has been involved with John Maxwell, and he is a self-identified liberator, which I love that phrase, by the way. But ultimately, let me get out of the way so you can listen in on this conversation with Jeremy Kubicek. Well, this week, it is my privilege to welcome to the show for the very first time, Jeremy Kubicek. Jeremy, welcome to the show.
So good to be with you, Eric.
I could go into a ton of different directions here as to describe you, but ultimately, I'll leave that for the intro that people just heard. And let's just say there's a brand new book out. This is not your first book. And honestly, a book about leadership seems to be something that a lot of people out there would be like, really? Another book about leadership? But this is not your average book about leadership. So I'd love for you to differentiate why the 100X Leader is not your average, other than it being 100 times better, but that's not even the right way that that's interpreted. So we'll get into the meaning behind that, but why it's 100 times better than any average leadership book out there.
So I've been in the leadership space for so long, and there's so much jargon about leadership. It's a generic term to so many people. And what we did is we got to the point, Steve Cochran and I, of breaking down leadership to get to the real essence, but to make it, let's just say the code word in 100X is very, very different, because we found that most leaders are 75 plus leaders. Meaning they're 75% healthy, generally healthy, and they add value to people. But the problem with leadership is meant to be about multiplication and scale, and it never, ever gets talked about. So getting people to 100% health and teaching them to multiply, multiplication is the ultimate scale of leadership. And that's why it just never gets talked about.
Yeah, so, you're talking about the health and the multiplication, which is great.
Yeah, because you think about if you think about leaders in life, there's some that are 40 and divisive. They have a big division sign. They're not very healthy and they multiply division. Some are 60 negative. So they're just, you know, they subtract every time you're around that person. You feel like they've taken something from you. So we find that most people aren't 40 divide or 100X. Most leaders are 60 negative to maybe 75, 80% positive. But it's the difference that the 100X leader is someone literally who, we use the analogy of the Sherpa. And I think that actually helps because a lot of times there's even servant leadership, and the word servant actually doesn't help because people have a misnomer of that word. And so the Sherpa are on Mount Everest. They're the ones that help you climb Mount Everest. So we use the analogy in the book that, look, if you're climbing a mountain, if you're actually going somewhere, it's not enough for you just to make it to the top. You actually had help along the way anyway. But it's really when you come back down, do you have it within you? Do you know how to take other people up the mountain? And we just find that most leaders are so focused on getting up the mountain themselves that that's hard enough in and of itself. But to actually have to come back down and take 3 to 4 other whiny people on a journey and take them places, it's just very, very difficult.
I love that you said servant leader, because that almost has become useless terminology, like the language that you were talking about, where, you know, group that in with guru, with ninja, with thought leader, or even now the modern one, which is kind of which doesn't hold like wisdom to it, but it's influencer. And right. Sherpa stands out to me. At first I thought Sherpa, well, that's just another one of those words. But once I started hearing you describe what it is, describe becoming one as well as then acting one out, and actually the fact that some people are even like born as a Sherpa in a weird way, although right. not really in this sense, but sort of the high altitude thing.
Yeah. And it's really about acclimation. I've been spending a lot of time talking to Sherpas and climbers on Mount Everest, and some listeners might have climbed or tried, you know, climbed the 8,000 meter plus mountain, but it's impossible to get to the top without help. So a Sherpa, in essence, they're fully acclimated. They can go ahead, they can go behind, and they've learned how to support and challenge a climber. So we just took that vernacular and that concept into leadership, saying, look, if you're a Sherpa for someone, then they need to know that you're for them, first and foremost. You need to calibrate high support and high challenge to help them get to the next level. And then you need to be able to show them what's undermining their influence or what would keep someone from getting to the next level. And we just found that most leaders, the jargon doesn't get the specific. It doesn't actually give you practical tools to do something with. And once you figure out what your tendencies are, and once you understand who you're leading, then we actually in the book give really, really practical tools to help you climb and help other people get to the next level.
So actually I haven't fully given the title away just yet. So let's say that right now. It's the 100X leader, and then the key subtitle, how to become someone worth following, which is what you're indicating here as a Sherpa. When we're talking about this role of being a Sherpa, this metaphor of climbing, or literal climbing, I guess it could be, but it's that guiding, not only of having done it before yourself, but also then being able to bring people along that climb as well with you.
That's right. And so we use a key visual. So we found that in most of the leadership language, and that's why I think you're pointing out the book is so unique, because we use visual pictorial tools throughout the whole time that you can remember and that you can pass on and train other people on. But one of the tools is called the 5 Circles of Influence. And it's the idea of intentional versus accidental, and that most leaders are accidental. Most parents are accidental. We hope our kids grow up. We hope they have the right teachers. We hope their friends are good. We hope that blah, blah, blah. Well, living intentionally with your kids versus accidentally, there's ramifications for that. And so same way with leadership is like most leaders are accidental because you just wake up and do what's in front of you. And so to intentionally understand how do I get people up to the next level means that you have to learn how to liberate people. And that's the verb that we use. And the idea of liberation is fighting for their highest possible good. And so what we did is we take people through a test of the 5 circles to go. Some people can be abdicating to themselves. They can be dominating their family. They can be dominating a team. They could be protecting in the organization, and maybe they're a liberating leader in the community because they get money at the Boys and Girls Club. So it's this like incongruence that we kept watching, that a leader might be really good in one circle and really bad in another circle. And so they're really hypocrites from that perspective. And the reality is I've been a hypocrite for a lot of years because I've been inconsistent in certain circles. And it was just years ago, probably 7-8 years ago, where I finally just looked in the mirror and was like, you know, I want to be intentional in every level and every circle of influence. And that was a game changer for me. It actually changed the way that we started living, leading our kids, leading our team. And we started practicing putting these tools in place for ourselves, not just writing them as some shtick. So this is like stuff that we've been practicing ourselves, and it's been working.
According to the CDC, 74% of the U.S. is overweight. That is a staggering number, and it means that the majority of adults, like myself, need to lose weight to improve our metabolic health. The good news is Prolon can help. Prolon is fasting with food. That's right, it's fasting, but it's with food. And it all starts with Prolon's 5-day program. Snacks, soups, and beverages are all designed to activate your body's fasting state, and it's unlike anything you've ever experienced. With Prolon, you get everything you need, prepackaged, ready to go. Every order of Prolon's 5-day program comes with 5 boxes labeled by day, so you know what to eat each day. Prolon is science-backed nutrition that helps support blood sugar levels and cardiovascular health, and change your relationship with food in just 5 days. I've had experience with fasting myself, both intermittent and otherwise, and Prolon makes it so much easier. It's not a diet, it's science. Science based on Nobel Prize-winning discoveries in medicine. Right now, Prolon is offering Beyond the To-Do List listeners 10% off their 5-day nutrition program. Go to prolonlife.com/beyond. That's prolonlife.com/beyond for this special offer. That's prolonlife.com/beyond. When it comes to hiring, don't search for great talent. Match with them, thanks to Indeed. With Indeed, you can ditch that busy work and use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Indeed leverages over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, making their matching engine your go-to because it's constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use it, the better it gets. I used to be involved giving my input into the hiring process for a few key roles that were connected to mine. And man, do I wish we had Indeed back then, because we could have gotten much higher quality hires using Indeed. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And in the minute I've been talking to you, 23 hires were made on Indeed, according to Indeed data worldwide. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your job more visibility on Indeed.com at Indeed.com/to-do list. Just go to Indeed.com/to-do list right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/to-do list. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. What's something that works so well, it basically feels like magic? For me, I'm thinking air conditioning, noise-canceling headphones, definitely. Meeting-free Fridays? What about selling with Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your own shop stage to the first real store stage, you don't have to just sell your own stuff anymore. With Shopify Collective, you can curate products to sell from brands you love and give your customers more variety and your business more sales. Shopify is your no excuses business partner. Sell without needing to code or design. Just bring your best ideas and Shopify will help you open up shop. Shopify also helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/beyond. Again, go to shopify.com/beyond now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/beyond.
So that whole health of you yourself first, and I'll go there. We both know Michael Hyatt, and one of the things he says often is this idea of being able to put on your own oxygen mask first, you know, like on a plane, they tell you to do that, because if you don't have oxygen coming to you, you can't help other people. And then I caught the oxygen reference as I was thinking about that going through the book, and I said, ooh, Sherpas at high altitude and oxygen, like that fits here somewhere.
That's right. Yeah, we use the phrase, you can't give what you don't possess. So you to become someone worth following versus someone that people have to follow. And I just think that most of us would admit most of the leaders we've been around, we've had to follow them. We wouldn't want to follow them. And we would make the correlation that that's directly tied to someone's view of being intentional versus accidental. And it's also tied to their view of looking in the mirror, seeing that they have broccoli in their teeth and wanting to do something about it and actually taking the broccoli out. And so self-awareness is the key to that, to becoming 100% healthy. And knowing yourself, knowing your tendencies, understanding the patterns and the actions and making changes on your patterns is the key to becoming someone worth following.
So obviously, before you can be someone worth following, you have to become someone worth following. And that's not saying we don't already have some inherent followability. I don't know if that's even really a word, but it is now, trademark. And by the way, I do want to call out here that 100 number that we've thrown around a few times now, this is where we get this from, this 100. It's the health meter. It's the, you know, taking stock of who you are and where you are right now before. I mean, here's the thing. Let's face it. Most people, they're already in a position of leadership, whether they know it or not. So they're doing a questionable job about it. So the deal is, let's hit pause. Better phrase. And do an assessment of who we are and where we're at right now so that we can get ourselves to into Sherpa mode and then move on to serving others. There's that word again, serve.
The real key to that, Eric, is really in each circle. And that's what we're saying, because most people equate leadership for teams or organizations. We equate leadership for your lifestyle. So to yourself, are you leading yourself, yes or no? Or are you abdicating yourself? So for years, I have not been the most intentional in taking care of myself. I've been taking care of everyone else. Well, so about a year and a half ago, you know, I was like, you know what? It's really time. And so I began to know myself, to lead myself in health, what I eat, when I eat, you know, all of those components, exercise, all of that. So that is a key component to leadership as well. Because if you're not leading there, then you may not have the influence you want in other categories. Fast forward to your family, you do the same thing. And I realized years ago that one of my kids I was liberating, meaning I was providing appropriate support and challenge. But to another, to my son, I was dominating. I was bringing too much challenge and not enough support. And to my other daughter, I was bringing too much support and not enough challenge. So that then is a whole nother sphere of leadership. And then you get to the office and look at your team, and then you get to the organization and look to your community. That's what we're after. We're saying basically, we want you to help you. We want to be your Sherpa through the book to help you climb every mountain here, yourself, your family, your team, and community and so forth. And that's where most people only think of leadership in the workforce, and they don't take it home with them.
There's often leaders who we're forced to follow versus that we want to follow. And often, you know, though we want to be someone worth following, we've potentially been promoted within and maybe feel like we're not up to the challenge. And we wonder, why am I worth following? Am I worth following? How much mastery of what I'm supposed to be leading these people, my team through, do I have to have in order to do that? And I think that one of the places we can potentially get confidence in is stepping back for a second and saying, well, that's my family. That's my team. That's, you know, me being part of the organization that I've been, you know, promoted up into. But if you look at those five rings of the circle, stopping and saying, what does it look like to be followable? Or where am I at in terms of my leadership skills, and being intentional in those circles is where we can start to say, wait a second. No, I am a Sherpa, or I know how to get there now.
Absolutely. Yep. And that is the journey. And there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of death. It's kind of interesting. The higher you go in Mount Everest, the more you die. And it is kind of true to go, you know, you get there because there's not as much oxygen. And so it just gets harder and harder. And yet once you've done it, it gets easier and easier. And so the idea of developing other people, another metaphor that we use, Eric, is inside a culture that if you're a leader, then you're responsible for the culture. And culture is the atmosphere. And that's the way that we describe it. And so it's the atmosphere. So if we shift metaphors to a garden, then a employee is a plant. And a plant is someone that works for you or with you. Then that employee, it has the opportunity. Does it want to grow? Of course the plant wants to grow. And do you want it to grow? Hopefully. So who's responsible? Whose responsibility is it to grow? The idea is both. It's the plant and yours. So if you're going to be a green thumb, if you're going to be if you're going to liberate a plant, it needs enough water, it needs enough sun, it needs enough, you know, soil, all of that. And so you have to build the right culture for it to grow. And so I was with a leader today, and one of the leaders that I work with, and I personally work with a handful, just for a lot of R&D for the content. We have a team of leaders that, you know, we certify people, or we have giants who work with companies. But this leader, he had the aha. He goes, you know, I think I'm just realizing. And he's like, by the way, he's 55. He's been leading as a CEO for 25 years. He goes, I think I'm just realizing that I treat all my employees the same. I lead exactly the same way. It'd be like having plants and they water all the plants exactly the same. And I'm like, yeah, absolutely. So he is a 75 plus leader. Good leader who adds value, but he has not learned how to multiply. And so I had to give him the understanding of you have to know yourself to lead yourself, but you also have to know your team to lead your team. And each team member needs different water, different sunlight, different soil.
And that, I think, right there is how we, you know, can deal with sounds like you put up with, sorry, how you can grow your team members by using the support challenge matrix. You kind of alluded to this earlier when it comes to your kids. Let's talk about this for a second. This high support and low support crossing a line with low challenge and high challenge. If people can kind of visualize, you know, two lines that are crossing each other like a plus sign, and you've got those two spectrums there. Well, four spectrums, I guess, in a way, and four quadrants.
Yeah. So if you think of high support, high support is serving. It's equipping, it's helping you. So let's say, Eric, we work together. And let's just say, if I knew you really, really well, I mean, I know we know each other, but if I really knew you to go, what type of support do you need? What do you need from me? How can I serve you, equip you, help you do your job? And then what's the challenge that you need? So it's like the best coach you've ever had. They're so for you, but they also made sure that you became the best you could possibly be. So that challenge component is really, really significant. So high support and high challenge need to go together. You need to establish support first. Some of us have a tendency to challenge first and then try to bring support, but that person never really feels our support. So they always feel challenged by us. And when we do, we create a culture, that atmosphere of fear and manipulation. And so they're always afraid of us. You know, can fully trust us. So we're not necessarily someone that people want to follow, but they have to follow us. So they kind of put up with us. At the other end of that person that's more protecting, it happens at a lot of nonprofits, a lot of churches, a lot of, you know, feeling cultures, which is basically high support, a lot of rah-rah, a lot of excitement, but not much challenge. So there's a lot of hinting. So, hey, Eric, big week next week. Are you ready? And there's like this hinting that goes along with it of like, I have expectations that you don't know and you're going to miss them and I'm going to be bitter. And so that happens so often. And so we basically ask people, look, what's your tendency? Do you tend to being more challenged than support? If that's the case, then you need to ask people what support looks like. Hey, look, I know I can get intense. I know I have these expectations. How can I help you? How can I equip you and support you? What do you need to do your job really well? You know where we want to go. I just need to do a better job of supporting you. So by doing that, then people have trust. They start believing their influence returns. Or conversely, on the other side, if you support people but don't know how to challenge, then share expectations. Hey, look, Eric, next week is a big week. I know, but I'm really nervous about X, Y, and Z. Can you make sure that we hit these things and then we'll talk about them? So if we learn how to calibrate both of those really, really well, then people will start to trust us and we'll become someone that people want to follow because they trust our leadership. And oftentimes it's just one person is skewed heavily on left or right and haven't calibrated both of those together. Does that make sense?
Totally. And, as I was going through this section of the book, and then later come across this talking about managing expectations when it comes to the culture, it kind of hit me that it's like, well, the culture, and you've even spoken about this earlier when you're talking about creating the atmosphere, which is your culture, that you're almost doing that culture on an individual level with every single person in your organization or on your team. Like your team, if you think about it, you yourself first are one cell of the organization. Then there's a bigger cell made up of the team. And then those teams make up the organization. So really these things all kind of cross-pollinate. There's the gardening metaphor again. So
absolutely. And that's where you have to know the tendencies. You know, we created something called the Five Voices, which is, we can talk at another time, but that was really taking personality and making it, taking Jungian typology, where Myers-Briggs comes from, and making it simple. Well, that helps people know people. Well, once you know tendencies, if they're more of a thinker or a feeler or so on and so forth, then you know what their tendencies are. Thinkers tend to over-challenge. Feelers tend to over-protect and over-support. And so by understanding both of them and learning who people are in your life, then you can begin to lead them differently. We're working with a number of college athletes, and we worked with a number of coaches. And, you know, coaches have a style, and some of them are grumpy, and they kind of yell, and they do the same thing. And we've shown them, did you know you're only 33% effective in your communication? And we're like, what if you were 85% effective? Do you think that could change? Do you think that could help you win? And we're showing them each player and how players respond. They don't all respond the same way to the same challenge. Same with kids, same with employees. So that's why the plant's important. Some plants need more water. Some people need more sunlight. Some people need to be in a different soil. So it's constantly tinkering and experimenting to position people to be in the right spot. And that's what we think 100X leaders are. They become really good at going ahead of their people and pulling people up at times and coming behind them and pushing them at times. But they're working to get people to the next level, which is an issue because sometimes you want more for people than they want for themselves. And so a Sherpa can only take people where they really, really want to go.
This episode's also brought to you by ZipRecruiter. Hiring can be challenging, but there's one place you can go where hiring is simple, fast, and smart. A place where growing businesses connect to qualified candidates. That place is ZipRecruiter.com/beyond. ZipRecruiter sends your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards, and with their powerful matching technology, ZipRecruiter scans thousands of resumes to find people with the right experience and invite them to apply for your job. And ZipRecruiter is so effective that 80% of employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. Right now, my listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/beyond. That's ZipRecruiter.com/beyond. ZipRecruiter.com/beyond. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. One of the other things that caught my eye, you're talking about leading people higher up, was this phrase of calling out versus calling up. And obviously calling up would be, you know, bringing the best out of people, but calling them out. I mean, it literally sounds like what it sounds like, calling them out.
Yeah.
It's making almost a public, example of them, and not usually in a good way.
You know what, Eric, if you could just do podcasts better, seriously, if you could, I need you to step it up. Are we clear? Right. And like, that's calling out. And by the way, I don't mean that. Calling up, though, would be, hey, Eric, you know what, man? Gosh, you know, you're so good. This is who you've been in the past. Lately, it's kind of gone down here. Like, what's happening? And so doing that with kids, I'll never forget my daughter who embarrassed us by toilet papering one of our good friends, and that friend calling us because they captured my daughter on video.
Wow.
Yeah. And you're like, oh, yeah. Well, my daughter had just told me a week or two before, Dad, you know, going in, and this was when she was a lot younger, but in this next school year, I really want to be a leader and I want to lead. I want to be a part of student council and do all these things. And so, and it's not that big a deal. It was toilet paper, but it was an opportunity to call her up. I wanted to call her out going, do you understand how this affects our friendship? And you said this and blah, 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 blah. But instead, I used her words to call her up. And so I was like, Kate, this is who you are. Remember, you told me this is who you wanted to be. So how does this help you become that? And the key here, and I think this is what I'd want every listener to get. The key is that most leadership, most language is subjective. It's nagging. It's judgment. It's harsh. It's like, yeah, these phrases that aren't constructive. Versus objective language, calling someone up, giving them a tool that I can look at and say, you know what, Eric, sometimes you have a tendency to bring a lot of support, but sometimes people don't know your expectation. You need to share that challenge a little bit more. So by giving that, it becomes constructive and helpful and prescriptive. And calling someone up, like calling kids up, not out, gives them a chance to see themselves, and instead of knowing that you're mad at them and they don't want to make you mad, and they give them a chance to actually get to the next level going, yeah, yeah, this is who I really want to be. I don't want to be down here. And it's a subtle shift, but these are the things that you do. These are little big things in leadership. If you learn to do these tools, and the book is laced full of these pictures and these tools that can help you climb and help other people get to the next level, then you become someone people want to follow.
It's not just subtle, it's dynamic. It's powerful. It can change really quickly again, being from a person who people have to follow because they're told to, or you told them to, for that matter, or someone that they can't help but just know they need to follow you. And I when I was thinking about calling up, I just kept thinking about, you know, if you're climbing, going with the Sherpa metaphor still, that if I'm the Sherpa and I notice you're having trouble climbing, it's not about me wanting for you as someone below me to not make me look bad. It's about making sure you're healthy, you're climbing, you're not falling off the side of the mountain. I want to give you any and everything tool-wise and challenge-wise that I can do to help you continue climbing up.
You know, it's interesting. Sherpas are so, after talking to them, they're so secure and confident and humble that they're not trying. It's not about how many times they climb the mountain. It's about how many times they've helped other people climb. So they actually count how many times they've helped other people summit more than they count how many times they've summited themselves. And that's a missing link in our society. That's why there's just not very many 100X leaders. And so we're just trying to call people up to that, to go, hey, what would it look like if you joined us in becoming a Sherpa for someone? And so the back half of the book, almost the entire back section, is about multiplication, how you actually develop other people. And we find that most people just don't know how. They want to, but they don't have the tools. They haven't had the experience. They don't know anyone that's done it for them. They didn't experience that for themselves. So therefore, they're just kind of doing their thing. And we recognize that. And that's why we created this book. And that's why I think it's so unique, because it literally is a field guide for how to become a Sherpa. And that's the fun part about this, is we can use leadership to help people see significant change and help other people change. And that's kind of what we're calling people up to becoming 100X.
Yeah. Well, I want to point this out too. In the book, the first third of the book is about Sherpa-ing yourself in a way. And then the second third and the third third are all about, again, working directly with one-on-one and then multiple people in the culture that you're in, whether that's a community, whether that's an organization or, you know, a small team or, a small company. But that I noticed that it's like, hey, that first third about you being worthy of being a Sherpa or becoming a Sherpa or being the best Sherpa you can be, is super important, but it's, again, a small piece of the entire three thirds of the book, the entirety of the book.
The way we describe it is like, let's imagine you climb Mount Everest. Okay, Eric, and we got you to the top of Mount Everest and I was your Sherpa to get you up and you made it and you didn't die and you made it down and you didn't die. And you get back to boot camp and I go, great. Now, Eric, I'm going to give you 3 or 4 days of rest. Now I want you to take 4 other people up the mountain. Are you good? So the skill set for you to climb is one thing. The skill set for you to take 4 people up the mountain and still climb, that's what leadership is. And no one talks about that. Most people just talk about climbing to the top yourself, be all you can be, all that kind of jargon. And we're like, yeah, that's good, but that's not leadership. Leadership is taking 4 other complaining, whining people up a mountain without them dying. And so what we've done is we've actually created something that's pretty neat. We actually created a 100X Leader Summit, and it's actually a 2.5-hour show. It's an experience that we've filmed, and we give it for free for any teams that want to sign on. And they just go to 100xleader.com/team. And in that, all we do is you get it the license free to watch it with your team so you can learn to use this language of a Sherpa inside your team. All we ask is that you would buy books for whoever's watching so they have a field guide. But that's something that we're trying so hard to get people to lead this way because we feel like it's key to societal change. If we can get people to actually lead in a way that their own cultures will change themselves, it'll benefit everyone else.
I think people are going to hear that this is, I mean, if they're listening to this, they can hear that maybe there's something familiar to it in terms of the way leadership should have been, though they've learned about it before. But this really truly is a different spin. In fact, it's a better spin. In fact, I've heard you say this before. We don't need more leaders. We need better leaders. And this is the way to go through that process.
Yeah, because we have a lot of leaders who are 75 plus. I mean, that's better than a poke in the eye. But we need people who are multipliers and people who have learned to take other people up. And that's a rare skill set. And so we've been practicing it ourselves. That's perfect. But living intentionally has amazing ramifications. It just is really hard work. And that's why most people don't do it. But once you do, it's actually really, really, enlivening. It's really a fun lifestyle.
I've gone through the book. I want to go through the 100X Leader Summit.
And so it's basically Steve Cochran and I sharing Sherpa stories, going through some of the tools. And then we have Maria Guy, Amy Norton, talking through real life experiences about self-awareness and multiplication. And we've gotten to the point where we're actually even certifying people who want to do this in the coaching world. So we're certifying coaches or team leaders, and we have a 100X leader journey. So we just continue to create this content, and we're delivering it in multiple different forms. And then we're launching it on Giant TV, which is kind of our Netflix for leadership. And those are the types of things that we're just trying to get people to think differently and see a different way. But you almost have to break down leadership into really specific tools. And again, I feel like it's just been too generic and too much jargon and not enough substance.
People, if they're interested, obviously the best place they can go is 100xleader.com. That's where people can get the first chapter of the book for free. They can then also, that's where they'll find out more information about the summit. And this show right now is dropping just in time for the book to be coming out. So you should be able to just go grab it and then prove that you got it and then get in on that summit for free. And it's going to be awesome. I can't wait to go through it.
Yeah, thank you, Eric. It's really fun. It's just a fun way with all my years of leading the Chick-fil-A leader cast, the Catalyst conferences. I'm like, you know what? What if we created something that was just literally for free that people can utilize for their team because we believe in this mission?
Yeah. So, well, Jeremy, it has been awesome talking with you. We're going to have you come back on again soon. But until then, again, everybody go over to 100xleader.com to grab the book or grab the first chapter and check it out a little bit further. And I'll link it up in the show notes. Jeremy, thanks for being here.
Man, Eric, thank you. I sure appreciate you. Appreciate everyone listening and wish you all well.
Well, that's it for another episode of Beyond the To-Do List. I hope that you enjoyed this conversation with Jeremy Kubicek. I know that I had a great time talking with him. I hope you can see now why I refer to this book as probably one of the best leadership books that is out there. And again, make sure to go to the show notes at beyondthetodolist.com/265, where you'll find the links for this as well as the summit Jeremy mentioned. And if you know of somebody who needs to hear this episode, share it with them from those show notes. And with that, thanks for listening, and I'll see you next episode.